Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Paul had a real knack when he wrote. He actually spoke of actual people in the fellowships that he fathered, if you will. And so before verse 4, because that would be where I would normally start, and it's a verse that many of us have memorized a long time ago, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. But the comments he made before really show you that not only the Holy Spirit, but Paul himself had a heart to recognize certain things in the body of Christ that he felt worthy of mention. And I don't know if Paul ever realized that his words would be in the most famous book in the whole world called the Bible one day. But here are his words. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Can you imagine someone writing a letter to you like that as part of renewed life? Because for a lot of us, this is where we've been for so many years. And that you see the Spirit of God's heart of endearment writing through Paul these beautiful, beautiful words. Stand fast in the Lord. Oh, longed for, my joy and crown. I beseech, I don't know quite how to say that. I'm going to say Euodias and beseech Syntech. I don't know if that's a new car, but I don't. But there seemed to be an issue here. He said that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So apparently there may have been an issue where even though believers, they may have had a personal dispute between them or a lack of agreement. But he prayed that they would be of the same mind in the Lord. And in verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. And a lot of times people would always say when they read the scriptures, well, how come it doesn't mention a lot of women in the New Testament? But it does. But you're so quick to read your Bible study plan that you feel you're compelled to read a whole chapter in the New Testament and a whole chapter in the Old Testament, and then you don't have any time to really stop and bite that apart and start looking at it a little more deeply. Think of the ladies' fellowship group that meets downstairs. How long you've been doing that? And Karen started that years ago until she got in trouble with the town because there were so many cars in her driveway. And things had to change. And finally, it just seemed a good thing to... I like to see the building being used during the week. You know, we use it Sundays and for Bible studies, but it's a wonderful place that God has provided for us. Yeah, but he makes mention, they were effective in their ministry of helping Paul to some degree. He doesn't always go into detail, but the fact that he made mention of that. I can thank you publicly because you send cards, you write letters, you do things like that. There was a time when Faith was doing that mostly alone. And now, with our directories that we have, what I really like is I can say thank you too, because there are things that you've done, the blood drive to help in the Philippines, other projects that you take on that I'm not even aware of and I don't need to be. But just taking the time to recognize different ones in the body over the years who maybe never hear a thank you very often. And maybe in your personal life you do things that nobody knows about and you don't always hear a thank you. So I'm going to say it again, thank you for what you all do, either among yourselves or even individually. And I like that Paul had a personal side to him where he brought mention in his letters of these things happening. And so then he said, my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. That's the most important thing of all, because, you know, that keeps you from standing at the white throne judgment, where those whose names are not in the book of life will stand and will be sentenced to a life eternal without the Lord and in darkness forever. If your name is in the Lamb's book of life, that's worth celebrating. If you can't think of anything else to thank God for today, thank him that your name is in the book of life. And Paul referred to that, and I've done a study about the book of life. And the conclusion is an interesting thing that doesn't have anything to do with this opening scripture, except that in my study, I found a verse of scripture that talked about having names removed. So it made me wonder, if how can someone undo their salvation and have their name removed? Or did God, by faith, put everybody's name in that book of life from the beginning, and those in the end who never received Christ, their names were removed at that time? It's an unknown, but there's something significant about knowing that your name is in that book of life, and it's through faith in Jesus Christ and trusting him and him alone. So be of good courage, keep believing, and may God continue to enable all of us to walk out our salvation to the end, because it's worth everything, because it cost him everything. Now we can get down to verse 4. After that book of life verse, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The word always is an interesting word too, because it's a shortened version of in all ways. In all ways that's possible to rejoice in the Lord, rejoice. And it was right after he talked about the book of life. It's hard for me to do an opening scripture without connecting it to where it came from. It's a little, you know, a little in the context of it. And rejoice means to jump, to shout, to twirl about. That's why the seats are a little farther apart and there's room to do that. You could have an outburst of twirling and jumping and nobody would think you're having a fit or a seizure. Jumping and twirling about with rejoicing and excitement and exuberance about your faith. That's really special. And again, I say rejoice, because sometimes you don't feel like rejoicing. But yet when your priorities are right, there's plenty of room to rejoice. And then he said, let your moderation be known unto all men. Moderation means self-control. Don't let people see you when you lose it. Guard it. If you're gonna have a kite moment, don't do it in front of your kids. It's amazing how often I remember that, and so do our kids. But this is a testimony to our life as we grow and mature in the Lord, that being in control of oneself, that's not letting your emotions being in charge of you, but you being in control of them. And controlling oneself wherever we go, because our life is a testimony. Even if we don't get a chance to speak to somebody, I made a comment the other day in Walmart, and I asked some lady, I says, aren't you glad we don't have those arrows pointing the way down the aisles anymore for a topic of conversation? Because why would you want to go all the way around the other side and come back in to pick one item off the shelf when you can just take your cart and just back up and nobody will know? To maintain self-control. You didn't ever do that, anybody? Anybody do that during COVID? At least one? Oh, praise the Lord. And then verse 6. Oh, it says, the Lord is at hand. When I see the Lord is at hand, I see that on a couple levels. Number one, at the time this was written, people lived in the expectancy that the Lord could return any time and soon to them. I remember after Faith and I got saved, I was out at the golf course spacing out on my mowers, looking up in the sky in the clouds to see if I want to see if I'd see Jesus coming back, because I thought it could be any day now, it could be any minute. And I was out there driving around gawking at the sky like that, mowing things I shouldn't mow. They had that thinking that it could be any day, and so live our lives as though that's actually true. Because time-wise, none of us knows the day or the hour. If we did, we'd be famous prophets. But even Jesus said that he didn't know. So how can we know? Then he said, be careful for nothing. This word careful means filled with care. That's why it says careful, to be full or filled with cares. And it says, be careful for nothing. Nothing is a combination word meaning no thing. No thing can have any good if your life is filled with cares. Because if your life is filled with cares, you won't have any room for anything else because you're already filled up. So this is where every once in a while I remind us, don't curse somebody and tell them to take care. I know you mean well. We all do. But learn to say cast your cares, because then you're blessing that person. Because every time you tell somebody to take care, this is contrary. Taking care is like putting cares on somebody that they don't need to carry. So please remember that. That's a little tidbit in all of this. Don't say take care. Cast your care. You can say that to people because then you're passing a blessing on to them. Cast your care, reminding them that whatever cares they're already carrying, they don't have to carry anymore. Okay? So when you say cast your cares, it's a reminder to all of us in the faith community. Yes, we're told, aren't we, to cast our cares on the Lord, for he cares for us so that we can be free. Lots of goodies in here. So be careful for nothing, but in everything. That's a very important word. It said in everything, but not for everything. It says in everything. We all find ourselves in situations in life that we hadn't planned on. I know it didn't catch God by surprise from before the foundation of the world. Whatever we did yesterday or the day before, he was not caught off guard. He wasn't caught with his pants down and unprepared and didn't know how to handle that situation. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. So, in everything, by prayer and supplication, if you need to make a list or a supplication, it's making a supplication is like if you go to court and you have a supplication that your attorney will have some kind of paperwork written down to bring before the judge, either against you or for you, but it's a document in a court of law. When we come before the Lord in prayer, because he's the only true and righteous judge, our supplication is always going to be handled in a manner that's going to be just and right and always exactly fulfilling God's will for that situation in our life. With thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is really important, to keep thanksgiving in all of your prayers, because when we thank the Lord, we're showing him that we've exercised our faith in believing that we receive when we pray. Like Jesus said, when you pray, believe you receive. So if that's your measure of faith, when you release it, when you pray, there's no reason to not offer thanksgiving at the same time, because that seals it. It shows God that you believe that you received what you asked for, even though it may not have manifested yet, it's still there waiting for you. So that's why thanksgiving is really big. I like to use a very brief testimony about that and some things that I bring. One of them was at a writer seminar that I did with Bob Pierce. We did four in different places in the state of Vermont. And this lady came and she said, "Would you pray that God will make my book very well known, that it will be a really good seller, and for your journals, I could imagine that you would like that prayer, that God would do that." And so she said, "I wrote that book 9 years ago," and she's been praying that prayer for 9 years. And so before I prayed, I says, "I would love to pray that for you." I said, "But before I do, you told me that you've been praying this prayer for 9 years, and now you're asking again." And I said, "Did you ever thank him?" In 9 years, she had never thought of it and confessed, "I never thought of that." And she just started crying, because it's like, you asked for 9 years and nothing happened. And when I asked her, "Did you ever thank God?" And she said, "No, I never thought of it." And so I used that brief testimony. Don't forget that. It's really important. When you pray and you ask God for something, thank him then. Don't wait. There's a lot of really goodies in here. Let your requests be made known unto God. And number 7 is really a wonderful something that God gives us back in return, okay, for the investment. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding." I don't like seeing things all tore up around us that's going on any more than you do. A lot of things I don't even know how to pray except in the Spirit. They're so numerous. How do you pray for what happened in Hawaii? And there may be as many as 8,000 or 9,000 people that they won't find anything but ashes. And the sudden fires that just... How can you pray and not pray in the Spirit for a situation like that? It's too late to pray for their souls. It's too late to pray for their possessions. That's how sudden things can change. And so, having peace, God's peace, the God kind of peace. We have the God kind of faith, but what about the God kind of peace? Where in spite of all of these things that we see, we're aware of, and we're living in this culture that our in this season in our faith walk together, in our generation, do you have peace? Because that's really important. Because if we don't have peace, that even can affect our prayer life. It can affect a lot of things if we don't have peace. And this kind of peace is not the same as a nation makes between nation and they sign a peace treaty and then break it 3 weeks later. This is a different kind of peace. It doesn't mean we agree with all that we see in this world without the Lord, but to have peace in spite of all that, it's a peace that passes all understanding. I don't know how it works, I just know it does. It's a spiritual part of our countenance that God has enabled us to walk in, to the point where people might think that you don't care. No, it's not that you don't care. You just don't let the care have you. There's a difference. And in that, you can have the peace that he's talking about. And none of us in our natural understand, because it says the peace of God that passes all understanding. I'm not going to try to describe it because I don't even know how it works. I just know when I have it. And it says, shall keep your hearts. And it didn't stop there. Not only your heart, that's the very spirit of man. That's the source of life in man. this peace will keep you when everything else is pulling and grabbing at you and trying to pull you away from having peace in your life. And sometimes people have a really hard time sleeping at night because that continues throughout the day, and then it's bedtime and they go to bed and they're all tore up because they haven't entered into that peace before they go to sleep, and it keeps them awake and they toil and they think about it, they toss and turn, and once they finally get to sleep, it's not really a solid sleep. So all these things are connected. It'll keep your heart in mind. The mind is a powerful thing, and it can conjure up all kinds of pictures and imaginations to rob us of our peace. But that's if we let it. Because as Don brought up this morning earlier, he said, "Oh, you finally wrote an opening scripture that I memorized." What's the next part, Don? You got a nice voice for that. Well, start with finally, brethren, whatsoever. Never mind. Okay. All right. Well. All right.
I quoted it to you back there earlier.
Okay. So may I read it? Because this is the benefits when it comes to issues of the mind. When Paul talked about that this peace that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord, there's a promise. See, these verses are sandwiched right between where we started and where I would like to end. This tells us what to think so that peace will remain steadfast in our minds. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And I'll tell you, it takes a real discipline to do that, because our minds have always run the show. Then we get saved and the mind has a new boss called the Holy Ghost. And until we renew our minds to the Word, we're still subject to thinking things that aren't true, things that aren't lovely, things that aren't of good report. All of the opportunities to think about all those things, they're all out there. But we really have to be disciplined in our thought life to think about these things, because otherwise we can be rather scattered as well. And I choose to not to be, but find myself at times that I'm not always thinking on these things. So it's a good admonishment for me too, that in these last days that our generation is living, these are really good solid things to set our hearts on and to glean out of this, just to keep ourselves tracking in the right direction together, but also individually in our home life, our friends, our other family, extended families, but as a body too, as a church, to keep these things in mind and to think on these things, because they will always keep us headed in the right direction, and we will be a people of peace, and the world can't even understand how can we be at peace. But yet, we have that possibility is there for us to be in it and to experience it. So with that in mind, go give somebody a really nice, peaceful hug and greet them in Jesus.